recording has started. You may proceed.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Privacy and Proxy Services Accreditation Issues PDP Working Group call on Tuesday, the 22nd of September at 1400 UTC. On today's call, we have Stephanie Perrin, Todd Williams, Sarah Bocchi, Frank Mishlik, Steve Metallitz, Sarah Wild, Phil Corwin, James Bladel, James Gannon, Paul McGrady, Susan Prosser, Alex Deacon, Christian Dawson, Chris Falling, Val Sherman, Graham Bunton, Terry Stummer, Volker Greimann, Iranga Kahangama, Amy Bivens, Stephen Prick. Todd Williams is also on the call, as well as Kathy Clayman. Apologies today noted from Holly Raich and Don Blumenthal. And from staff, we have Mary Wong and myself, Gisela Gruber. And if I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. I may have left a couple of people off the list. I see that Griffin Barnett has also joined the call. Attendance will be noted. Thank you very much. And over to you, Steve.
Thank you, Gisela. This is Steve Metallitz. We have a full agenda here, which I had seen up on the screen. I'm not seeing it right now. But I'm sure it begins with asking if anybody has any updates for their statement of interest. So let's give folks a second if they want to bring forward there.
Yeah, it's Steve Troek here. I'm new to the group. I'm basically replacing Dick Cleaning as a law enforcement person. My background is I work for the MHRA in London, medical authority here in London, and I'm an ex-police officer working for the Metropolitan Police.
Thank you. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Hey, Steve. This is Paul McGrady. I'm not on the Adobe, but I don't know if I need to disclose that unless abstained wins, I will be seated in the GNSO Council in Dublin, and I don't know if that's a material change or not, so I thought I would mention it.
Okay, thank you. So Paul is a candidate for election to the GNSO Council. He's unopposed, so we're expecting that he will pick up that seat at the end of the Dublin meeting. Thank you. Okay. Well, I'm seeing the the agenda here. So we basically have reports or items from three of the four subgroups, 1, 2, and 4, and I'll just say on subteam 3, which is looking at Annex E, we've had a good discussion of that in the working group, and I was hoping that we would be able to return to that this week, but I understand that subteam 3 has not had a chance to meet, but I'm hoping that they will meet in the coming days and bring back to this working group next Tuesday some specific suggestions on any changes to Annex E, in particular to deal with whether any changes are needed to meet a verifiable evidence standard that some commenters called for. So I'm hoping that we'll have some specific suggestions on that for, in advance of the Tuesday call so we can discuss them next Tuesday. Moving along to the items that are on the agenda, subteam 1, we've had a couple of presentations from subteam 1, which I think reached some good conclusions, and Mary circulated a document that should be on your screen that is proposed text to update our report to reflect the discussions in the subteam and in the working group. I'm going to stay now. I have to apologize that because we had a lot of email problems here in our firm yesterday, and so I didn't get this until I didn't actually see this till this morning. but it was circulated yesterday, and so hopefully people have had a chance to look at it. So let me ask Alex, and I don't know if Lindsay's on the call, the co-conveners of Sub-Team 1, just to see if you guys have had a chance to look at this document and if you have any comments on it.
Hi, Steve. It's Alex.
Alex, go ahead. Alex, go ahead.
So I scanned it also myself this morning. I think it makes sense to make sure there's time for everyone to read the details. I think for the question one, I think it's pretty accurately depicts what we suggested for the group, and I just want to remind people to make sure that they read our suggestions in the context of the full section for question one, just to make sure there's no confusion there and it's read in context.
Okay, thank you. Lindsay, and have you had a chance to look at this? Do you have any comments on it? Okay, I'm not hearing from Lindsay on this. But let me open the floor to see if others have any comments or questions about this document. Again, it was circulated prior to the meeting, but not long prior, so I don't know if people have had a chance to look at it. Kathy has her hand up. Kathy, go ahead.
Hi, Steve. I'll join the crowd of people who haven't had the chance to look at it. And I have a procedural question for you, which is when we're looking at these draft texts, whether it's Sub-Team 1, Sub-Team 2, Sub-Teams 3, are we really looking at it now, you know, are we looking at it now to approve the recommendation or to approve this being moved as an issue for further working group consideration? So being moved onto the list, there was a list that was circulated of issues for further consideration. Are we approving, so again, let me see if I can rephrase it. Are we approving this text to go into the final report, or are we approving it to be moved to issues we'll be looking at in further detail? I'd prefer it be moved to issues for further detail, because then we'll have all these new texts in front of us and be able to look at everything together for the full sense of the impact.
Thank you, Kathy. Let me provide my answer to this, and Graham, of course, is welcome to present his views. We have these sub-teams in order to get this discussion framed, and we've had two meetings to discuss the output, at least two meetings to discuss the output of this sub-team. So I view this as text for inclusion in the final report. Now, nothing is final till everything is final, so that doesn't mean we can't, that we're locked in, but we need to start, if we're going to have any hope of meeting our time frame here, we have to start putting pieces into place for the draft final report. So having gone through the sub-team process, the sub-team having met several times, having presented at least two or three times to the full working group, having literally had hours of discussion on these issues, I think we're at the point where we are hoping to have final text for the final report. Obviously, the whole final report will need to be looked at, but that my understanding is that this is text for the final report. So I'll ask Graham. Obviously, we're not going to approve it now because people haven't had a chance to look at it, but I'm hoping that during the week people can look at it and we can put this one small piece of our final report into place. So I'll ask Graham if he has any views on this that he wants to share.
No, I don't, Steve. This is me. I think the aspirational goal with the subgroup is to provide text that we can put into the final report.
Okay, I did not hear you that very well, Graham. I think you were basically agreeing with what I was saying, but if not, please speak up.
Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Okay. new headset. I was saying that you know, the aspirational goal from these subgroups is to provide text for the final reports, and I agree with you that that's the goal, and hopefully we can get to that place, and I acknowledge that there are exceptions to that, and that's okay. That's what we're working on. It's probably a long-winded way of saying yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, so, Kathy, I think that answers your question from the co-chair's perspective. Let me just see if there's anybody else that wants to comment on this document now. If not, then I guess I will ask that people take a look at it. If you have edits to it, please bring them to the list, and hopefully we can get this wrapped up no later than next week's call, and hopefully before next week's call. So please use the list if you have further comments on this section. And thank you to the staff, and thank you certainly to Subteam 1 for all their work on this. So let's move on to the next item on our agenda. So the next item on our agenda is some language that was circulated about a week ago. Five or six days ago. Basically, growing out of the work of Subteam 2 and the discussion in the working group, so this language was circulated by the co-chairs, for proposed language for the final report. So I have seen, as I said, I've had email problems over the last 24 hours, but I think I've seen most of the commentary, not necessarily in the order in which it was sent, which is a bit confusing for me, but that's my problem. I think the original objection the original response that James Gannon sent to the list within about 10 minutes after we circulated this document was a concern about the last two paragraphs. I saw almost nothing in the discussion that I've seen about anything other than the last two paragraphs. So if that is correct, I'd like people to look at the last two paragraphs. I believe you can scroll down your text there, and let's look at these last two paragraphs. The first one, which is making a suggestion about something to happen during the implementation phase, and the second, which is called an alternative approach for a review after the accreditation system has been in place for a while, to look at how privacy proxy providers are dealing with this, accredited providers are dealing with this issue, and whether there are any convergent practices or potential for adoption of best practices in this area. I think what is not in dispute is the conclusion is at the top of this page, that the working group does not believe that the accreditation standards for PP services should require service providers to deny the use of these services to registrants who wish to use them to engage in commercial activities or online financial transactions. So as far as what would be in the accreditation standards, I haven't seen anybody disagreeing with that conclusion. Obviously, that's not the conclusion that some commenters and some members of the sub-team wanted, but this seems to be where we're ending up on this. So it's really these two other proposals that are in this document for things that would be outside the scope, outside the accreditation standards themselves. But one is whether an illustrative framework mechanism should be developed for dealing with this issue. And the second option was to have a review after a year or two of operation about how this is actually working in practice among accredited service providers. So let me open the floor to discussion on these. And if you're in the chat room, please, or in the Adobe room, please raise your hand. If you're not, please just speak up and we'll get you in the queue. I see Kathy is in the queue, so go ahead.
Hi, Steve. I'm actually going to speak to the first paragraph. I know there are lots of people who want to speak to the last two paragraphs, but the first paragraph, I think, sets this up in kind of a funny way, that the working group was unable to achieve consensus on the important question of, and we know what that question is. Really, it seems like it should be phrased differently, that the working group determined not to go forward with any differentiation of proxy privacy services, be it commercial or non-commercial, or any subset thereof. That's really the decision. Phrasing it this way kind of presents it as an open question that needs to be answered at some point along the way. But there is a very definitive answer coming out of this working group on this question and through thousands of comments. So I would phrase paragraph one differently.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think let me just respond to that, because this is obviously intended to describe what was the situation at the time we released the initial report. Up until the time of the initial report, we were unable to achieve consensus, so we asked.
Right.
We asked the public for this. So we need to we should clarify that as of the time of the initial report, instead of just, I mean, it says as of the initial report, but I think that...
I'd like something to reflect where the vast majority of the working group is. There is no consensus on making a change.
No, well...
That's where we are.
Yes, I understand that, Kathy, and I think that the first paragraph on the top of the second page makes that point. This is the background as to why we asked the question. We asked the question because at the time of the initial report, we couldn't reach a consensus, so we asked. That needs to be clarified, that this is a snapshot.
Great. Let's clarify. Thank you.
A snapshot of where we were at the time we published the initial report, not where we are now.
I would appreciate the clarification. Thanks.
We should make that clarification. Thank you. I see James B. in the queue, and if anybody else wants to speak, please raise your hand.
Thanks, Steve. James speaking for the transcript. And, you know, I don't want to start the piling on of the last two paragraphs, but I do have just kind of a practical question or concern, which is that if we have determined in the first, at the outset, that there should be no obligation or requirement to discriminate between domain names used for commercial or financial purposes versus domain names that are, and then the last bit is talking about a 1-year review of different practices implemented by accredited service providers in treating the, you know, different practices used to deal with these. I don't understand how that review could have any basis of data to review if we're not discriminating at the outset. The data to provide to that review process. So I'm just confused, because I feel like they're kind of contradicting each other. If we're saying we're not going to discriminate, but later we want to review how we're treating these names differently. So I just feel like there's an incongruent instruction between and all the issues that folks have pointed out with the second two paragraphs. But I think generally speaking, I'm more concerned that it's just kind of, well, it's going to be a void or a null data set.
Okay, I see James Gannon and Stephanie Perrin. So, James, go ahead. James G.
Hi, James Gannon. So, very good point made by James Ladle, so I'll sign on to that as well. I'll give him a plus one. But on a very vague, I don't want to get into the details of why we disagree over this. This is a zombie that keeps coming back to us again and again and again. And I prefer if we just let this thing die, doesn't reflect the consensus of the group, and we have no issue, obviously, with reflecting that there is a minority viewpoint on this. That's totally clear, and that should be in our report. However, I think the last two paragraphs reflect an operationalization of that minority view, which is not supported by the working group and therefore shouldn't be included. I think it's a pretty simple, you know, yes-no question here, and I don't think we should waste too many cycles on this. It's not supported by the group, and therefore I don't believe it should go in.
Thanks, Stephanie. Stephanie, go ahead.
Thanks very much. Stephanie Perrin, for the record, I have a number of concerns about how this is worded, because the points about the first paragraph I've already noted. And then the second paragraph basically says, well, we didn't reach conclusion on this, or at least we decided we didn't have consensus on banning it, but go ahead and discriminate if you feel like it. Now, in actual fact, there may be rights here. that are being trumped on, and we don't make that note. The fact that criminals use privacy proxy services, criminals use other, you know, they don't, not all criminal activity is hidden through privacy proxy services. So the suggestion here is that we couldn't reach consensus, and we're not going to do it this time. We'll review it, but go ahead. Do it if you feel like it. I mean, obviously, you're not going to tell a company how to do business at the micro level. But that brings up my basic point. What remit has ICANN to interfere in looking at the use of domain names? I would like a legal opinion on that, preferably from outside counsel, because I do not believe that ICANN has the authority to investigate potential use of a domain name as a determination for the use of proxy services. Thanks.
Okay. Stephanie, I don't see anybody else in the queue, but I guess I'm not clear on your point. First, you had a question about the second paragraph of the document, which just restates the questions that we asked. What is that your concern? Or is your concern that this document recognizes that some proxy service providers now have policies that forbid the use of their services for commercial activities? Is it the latter that you're concerned about, and you think they should not be allowed to do that? Or I wasn't sure what your concern was about the second paragraph of this document. Or are you talking about the last two paragraphs again?
Okay. Possibly I'm flagging the wrong paragraph here. I'm looking at the one that is the second. It'd be helpful if paragraphs were numbered, wouldn't it? The second paragraph on page 2.
Okay. So the one that starts, the working group notes that at least some significant current providers have adopted and enforced similar restrictions. Is that factual?
Right.
Are you concerned about the factual accuracy of that or about the conclusion?
I'm concerned about the suggestion. I'm concerned about the suggestion that we are basically saying we're not going to put it into the accreditation standard or whatever we're calling this, but go ahead and nothing in this document prevents registrars from discriminating and not providing it to those who they think might be engaged in commercial services. I also consider that the suggestion that it could be used for criminal purposes is not really appropriate here.
Okay, let me try to separate those two out. So one is the fact that some services now do it, you believe they shouldn't be allowed to do it and be accredited. Is that correct?
No. I'm objecting to the flow here. It is this, well, we couldn't manage. Here's my logic. You know, the first paragraph says we couldn't manage to get consensus on the desired opinion, which would be, forgive me if I'm being a little blunt here, but, you know, which would be to exclude commercial services. And then the next paragraph says, however, plenty of currently unaccredited service providers do discriminate and do look into the potential use. And by the way, lots of crooks are using privacy proxy services. So therefore, nothing in this document or this accreditation process should discourage you from discriminating. And there are two points there. Number one, I don't believe that ICANN has the remit to empower or obligate its registrars to look into future use of a domain name. That's point number one, and I'd love to see a legal opinion on that. Because everybody I talk to says they don't. So why are we even talking about this? And the second point is that you're basically leading anyone who reads this document to the conclusion that it might be a good idea to discriminate, even though it's not required. Have I made that clearly enough?
Yeah, I think so. But I will say on your first point, I don't think there's any disagreement that ICANN would not empower or obligate, service providers to do this. The question is whether it would permit them to do it and still be accredited. So that's really what that paragraph is about. Let's go on.
Let's be clear. My question is whether ICANN has the remit and is operating outside of its remit already. That's
right.
My question.
Okay, that's a fair question, but since our job here is to try to propose accreditation standards, I'm going to stick to that.
And to propose accreditation standards that are legal and legitimate.
Accreditation standards would not include any requirement to deny services to people who intend to use the service for commercial transactions. But it also notes that some service providers now have that rule, and we're not saying that they couldn't be accredited without changing that rule. If you're suggesting that we should have an accreditation standard that says they can't deny the service to people engaged in commercial transactions, I'm not sure if that's your point. But let me go on to Kathy and Michaela, who've been waiting patiently, and James B. is back in line again. Kathy, go ahead.
Hey, Steve. I think I can resolve the issue that you and Stephanie are raising. For me, all of the final four paragraphs all appear on the second page. I don't know if that's for others. So let's go. So you and Stephanie were talking about the third to last paragraph. Let's go to the fourth to last paragraph, which starts under these circumstances. So I hate to say it, a lot of this report appears to have been written from the perspective of, it would have been good if we decided this, but we didn't. So if we change the wording of that, I think it solves a lot of our problems. So if we do, under these circumstances, the working group does not believe that the accreditation standards for proxy privacy services should require service providers to, let's change it from deny, which implies that we should have gone that direction, to differentiate. We do not believe should require service providers to differentiate the use of these services to registrants who wish to use them to engage, and we should really say commercial activities or non-commercial activities. This conclusion seeks to reflect the clear majority of opinions expressed in the comments, period. I don't think we have to go on from there. I don't think we have to go on to any of the rest of it because, one, we haven't really looked at the providers who differentiate. We don't have, and I don't see any reason. What you said is that we need to be able to protect those providers who differentiate from those who don't. And with the wording change, that one word from deny to differentiate, we basically say you can be accredited with the rules that you've chosen, not the rules that we've picked. And then I would stay out of the whole history, which we don't really have the documentation for, which is paragraph 3, and then paragraphs 4, you know, the last two paragraphs just don't reflect anybody's agreement.
Well,
so let's just make this simple and clear.
Okay. Let me just say that the documentation is clear. I mean, Volcker's terms of service say this. So this is at least one example that we talked about 18 months ago in this group. So please go back and look at the terms of service that were presented and discussed. Some providers do have this policy, and I think it's a factual statement. Okay, McKaylee and James.
Thanks, Steve. McKaylee for the record. Two things. One, I'm not 100% sure what Stephanie was getting at, but I think several of us understood it to say that she didn't want a service provider to be able to stop people from using their service on the basis of domain usage. That's what I think she said. You see, there's two things here. First off, as a service provider, what I choose to offer to my customers, the terms of service under which I offer them, who I choose to sell services to, is something that, well, as a business, I like to be able to control. So if Stephanie or anybody else is telling me that I can or can't do something, I'm always going to have a bit of problem with that. I'm going to push back on that. So whereas the issue that James G. and others had was one which is related to the policy, which I think a lot of us are very clear on, that we had issues with these two last paragraphs. So while, okay, Volcker keeps on being picked on as an example, so, and he's big enough and ugly enough to defend himself, so why not? You know, if Volcker's company or my company or somebody else's company wants to insert terms into our terms of service restricting who we sell or offer a service, be that privacy proxy or anything else, and as long as we disclose that, then we should be free to do that. I have a problem with people saying to me that I can't do something because of some other issue, which I don't fully understand where that's coming from. But more importantly, I just wanted to agree very strongly with everything that James G. said earlier. Thank you.
Thank you, Michele. James B.?
Hi, James speaking for the transcript. So I'll add my plus one to Michele. As a service provider, you know, if we decide that it's not in our business interest to serve, you know, blue-eyed people from Indiana, for example, or it's just not cost-effective, then we should be free to set those restrictions in terms of service, as long as they're disclosed and as long as we're not deceptively taking money from folks and then not providing the service. I don't see any issues with that. And in the interest of time, I'll drop my other point now. Thanks.
Thank you, James. Stephanie?
Stephanie Perrin, clearly I'm not adequately caffeinated this morning because I don't seem to be able to convey a basic point. So my basic point relates to what I can tells or encourages registrars or operators of privacy proxy services to do. And I think Kathy has been far more eloquent than I. I have a concern with the tone of the entire document that, as I said, sounds as if it's leading, well, we didn't get this conclusion, we're going to come back and revisit it. In the meantime, don't let us discourage you from discriminating. I believe I did say, and the transcript should show, that we are not in the business of telling the operators of privacy proxy services how to do their business. That is acknowledged. But we have an obligation not to be orienting them in a particular direction, and that, I believe, is what the second paragraph on page 2 does, orienting them to discourage them from operating, denying privacy proxy services to commercials. They said decide to do it for their own purposes. Well, fine. But this document should not be influencing them. So as Carlton has said in the chat, if we drop the whole thing, and most of this is unnecessary text and is not particularly adequately supported by the conclusions and the comments, then we get rid of my problem. The lingering question about whether ICANN is way outside of its remit is one that I'll take up elsewhere. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie. Volcker.
Sorry, I had to unmute myself there. Actually, I'm with Stephanie here. I think that what she meant was not that the registrar is not able to differentiate, should not be able to differentiate. I think that it's clear that they have to be able to structure the terms and conditions, however which way. I do think, however, it is the wrong place of this working group under the consensus that we are trying to build and under the opinions that we've seen to be held by a majority of the commenters and the members of the working group to be suggesting that this would be the best course of action or a suggested course of action, even though we were not able to make that a recommendation. So having this in there makes it seem to be not a recommendation, but maybe something lower than that, a strong suggestion that this would be a good way forward. And while I agree that I want to structure my terms and conditions that way, I don't agree that the working group is the right place and the report is the right place to make such a suggestion. I think that is lobbying that has to occur outside of this report. This is not something that we should include. This is not a majority opinion.
Okay, I'm going to terminate this this agenda item here because we have a couple of other agenda items to get to. I'll say that let me just suggest a couple of conclusions. First of all, I didn't hear any support for the last two paragraphs, which I think are actually quite different as far as what they recommend. But I didn't hear any support for either of those. As I said, we didn't have anything really on the list about anything other than the last two paragraphs, but during our conversation over the last 20 minutes, we've had a number of different and mutually exclusive suggestions on this. So let me just ask that people take this document and put on the list their specific edits that they would propose to make. Kathy had one specific suggestion, and we've heard some others as well. I think I'm still a little bit unclear about what the concern is about the third-to-last paragraph, the one that says the working group notes, which I think is factually accurate, and I'm not sure why people are afraid of including factual – if they're concerned about including factually accurate statements in our report, but maybe there are ways to express this that would be more acceptable. And finally, let me just say, I think if we have something that only reflects a majority view, then that definitely reduces the value of our report. And I think to suggest that we shouldn't say that there are pragmatic reasons for reaching the conclusion that we do, even if not everyone agrees with the merits of the conclusion that we reach, I just think that reflects very poorly on us. So I would really encourage people to look at the sentence that refers to pragmatic grounds and see if that is really something that they want to delete. So we'll ask people to, if you could, by Friday of this week, to circulate any proposed edits to this, and then we can see if we're in a position to put this chunk into place or whether it needs further discussion. The next agenda item is about the work output of Subteam 4. This, again, just came out, and it's very extensive. So I think what I will do is ask if Paul and Kathy, on behalf of Subteam 4, want to walk us through this, explain what this document is and what its goal is here, or where this takes us on the Subteam 4 issues, that would be great. Thanks.
Well, this is Paul. I'll jump in here, even though I'm unfortunately not in front of my computer this morning. And Kathy, please feel free to interrupt me or correct me if I go off the rails. But the purpose of the document that was circulated last night is to show a summary of the various comments that we went through, which were identified as not falling into areas that the other teams were necessarily looking at, even though they may be related. And that was sort of step number one for us. That is mostly complete. We have one 15 comment set that needs to be added to this summary. We circulated it primarily so that the rest of the team could see what we're looking at in the universe of comments and how we're distilling those first into this summary document. And then when this is complete, we will then be taking this summary document on our next team call, which is on Friday, and starting the process of distilling it further into a 3 or 4 page summary document, which will be circulated to the entire team as well for discussion of particular topics, and then if any of the topics make it through that process, then we would, I suppose, move on to proposed textual changes to the final report. So that's sort of the process. This document, I don't think the larger team necessarily needs to read through it, although everybody is welcome, which is why it's circulated. But I think it just serves to show essentially how we've narrowed the universe of comments and is illustrative of our process and ties into the time frame that we're discussing with the summary document for next week. Kathy, did I get that right?
You did. Paul, I thought that was great. Do you mind if I drill down a little bit? to help people read through the document.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, great. Subteam 4 has been hard at work, everybody. We're trying to kind of put our arms around the universe of comments, as Paul mentioned. When you look at the template, and you'll see the work that we've been doing all for the last week or more, there are different categories. We kind of divided up the comments into different categories of issues that we noticed were starting to emerge. So category A is law enforcement. We're doing a lot of work in Subteam 3 on Annex E, which is access to revealed data by third parties, private parties. Where do all the comments go that are talking about law enforcement when we look at that? Category B is about methodology. A number of comments were trying to encourage different review processes after the how are we going to check and see that we haven't inadvertently done something wrong after the accreditation process goes into place, that we haven't created other problems or magnified other problems. We had some interesting comments on that. We put those all together. Category C is about other new or additional features that the working group should consider adopting. This is for the existing procedures that we've already proposed. So one requester talked about, for example, retention of data. One commenter talked about retention of data by requesters. Should there be a limit in time for how long a requester can retain or keep the data that's disclosed? It's an interesting concept, merits looking at. So those are category C type things. And there's some good ideas about some new features that help kind of provide more due process or more protections. Category D is a whole set of unintended consequences. We think we know about the unintended consequences of the disclosure of the data for registrants, requesters, providers, but we got a comment, for example, from 105 individuals, many who are leaders in the women's community and the electronic community, and also signed by 65 organizations, including domestic violence groups from all over the United States. And they've got some new insight and input on unintended consequences, and it's really big. So we've got that and a number of others. Category E, we heard a lot of comments that were about that were for and against the creation of the accreditation program itself. And so we've categorized that. Category F, additional due process concerns. Those are in. And category G is things that didn't come up. If you have time to review this 40-page template, please make sure it includes whatever comments you thought were most important. We've all read through, and getting your hands around kind of 21,000 comments is really hard. So we'd like to make sure it includes anything you saw, you know, the whole working group, we'd love your eyes on this, that needs to be considered. This is our final bucket. And if something else belongs in the bucket, please let us know, either whether the comment belongs in the bucket itself, whether it's not there, or whether some idea or concept in it is something that we should be considering. Maybe we considered it on Category A, but we should be considering it under Category C. Thanks, Steve, and thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul and Kathy. Let me open the queue to questions or comments on this report from Subteam 4. Okay, I have a couple of questions, and so let me just kick this off. Really two. One of them is, as you went through these categories, I did hear a lot of issues that are also being discussed in other subteams or addressed in other subteams. So the issue you mentioned under Category C about retention of disclosed data, that's an issue that is on the table in the area of intellectual property complaints in Subteam 3. Category D is being addressed there in that context. So, can you clarify whether your subteam is looking at this outside of the intellectual property context, which is the only thing that Subteam 3 is looking at, or is this some overlap that we need to address? So that's my first point, and my second point is about. Why don't I stop there and ask Paul or Kathy to respond to that? How are you dealing with overlaps with other subteams, in particular Subteam 3?
Yeah, So this is Paul, and this is a little bit of a concern of why I was hesitant to circulate the template, because the template is meant only to capture the comments, not propose at this stage that they need further discussion by the overall working group, that the summary will distill down from the template what we know is being looked at by other groups, and if it's being looked at by other groups, then fine. But if it's not something that's being looked at by the other groups, and it's not being, there's not another mechanism to discuss it by the working group, and it's considered to be, an important issue, it'll make its way into the summary and out to the group to discuss. And so I wouldn't, as you're looking at the template document, I don't know that I would get too concerned about overlap at this stage. If you see overlap that still exists after our summary document goes around, then I think that that's the time to be concerned about that. Kathy, do you agree with me?
Absolutely. But I think also people can flag things that they would like bounced to their subteam, and we'll be happy to take it off our list and give it to you.
Yes, please.
Yeah, we were working off a staff document we call Part 4, and we were largely working off of that and also independent review of the comments. So these are issues we kind of thought collectively with staff that were missing from the discussion. But if they're not, just let us know. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. My other comment, and again, I saw James's hand up, but it's down now, so I'll just continue unless somebody else wants to ask a question. This may be the same answer on this, which is Category E, or additional reasons for or against the creation of the accreditation program. I think we should definitely look at those comments. I do think that our job, the job we were given, was to propose an accreditation system, and the board emphasized yet again just a few weeks ago in its public statements that it is committed to having an accreditation system. So I just hope we can put that in this context. I think we should note that some people certainly told us they don't think there should be any accreditation system, and that's a legitimate point of view, but the board has already committed to doing this, so that's kind of the remit within which we are acting here. So I think it's maybe premature because, after you look at those Category E comments, you presumably will make some recommendation on that, but I just wanted to note that. Let me ask if there are others who have, well, first, any response to that from Paul or Kathy or others on the sub-team?
Steve, I think we understand that. And again, the purpose of this document was just to gather the comments. I know that we had a lot of comments against the entire concept that were put forward in the template comments. I'm trying to find the right word so I don't end up making people angry. But the hundreds of comments saying we shouldn't have this. The Category E may just be more eloquent ways that perhaps of saying that thing or raising reasons why that we haven't thought of, but I don't think we're not necessarily gathering those for the purpose of undoing our work, but just to make the working group aware of what those comments say.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments on this sub-team 4 document? Okay, we should recognize that people are glad to have the opportunity to comment. We should say that in our final report. Thank you, Abby. Okay, I believe our last agenda item had to do with the issues previously identified through our review of the first three parts of the public comment tool document. Then the staff pulled this together to give us half a dozen or so bullet points on this. So if I could ask the staff, that document is now up on the screen, if I could ask the staff, was this document circulated, or what is the status of this document? What would be your recommendations about the next steps here?
Hi, Steve. Hi, everybody. This is Mary from staff. So an earlier version of this document was circulated that primarily focused on the issues arising from parts 1 and 2 of the review tool. So this latest version, which was circulated yesterday, adds to that earlier version just, I think, might have been one issue that was spotted by the working group arising out of part 3. And I think, as we said a couple of weeks ago when this was last discussed, staff will keep adding to it when there are issues that are spotted by the working group in discussions like today. In terms of next steps, I think our suggestion would be, first of all, that folks look through those first three parts of the tool to make sure that there's no other issues that you want included on this list, because the other suggestion we would have is that then the working group to sort of complete its deliberations and then swing into looking at what you would like to see in the final report would want to go through this list and decide which of these issues you want to have further deliberations on or potentially create a new recommendation on. And as part of that exercise, I think as Steve and Graham know, the staff had some feedback from our registrar services and compliance teams on some of the recommendations that we would also like to highlight, like I said, as part of this exercise, so that the working group can have this kind of ability to consider, you know, other issues, additional concerns before swinging into the final report. Steve?
Okay, thank you. Let me, again, this is drawn from the discussions that we have had on these public comment tools, which have been, you know, out for 1 to 2 months now. I think the first ones were circulated in June. This is now the end of September. So I think we've got a list of issues here, and I think it would be worthwhile to look at this and decide whether these are things that areas where we would want to change the initial report. You know, for example, the second items talks about labeling privacy proxy registrations as such. We had a lot of discussion about that leading up to the initial report. Some commenters thought that was reducing the benefit or value of these registrations in some way. Do we think so, or do we think that that needs to be taken into account, and should we back off from our initial recommendation in that area? The third point here talks about the option of registration cancellation in lieu of disclosure. That's been discussed a lot in Subteam 3 in the context of Annex E as to whether that would be required, but we also had people who said that should be, that should not be allowed. That should, the accreditation standards should forbid that. So do we need to, do we want to relook at our conclusions based on that? So it may be in some of these we may decide that no, we don't think we need to change what we've initially recommended, but this is a useful list for us to react to, and if there are areas where people want to drill further into it, let's try to identify those as soon as we can. Let me just ask if there are any other comments on this document or questions about this document. Okay, if not, let me just going back to Subteam 4, again, thank you for your report, and I just wanted to clarify, do you think this 3 to 4 page document with recommendations, do you think that do you have a timetable for when you will have that? I mean, is that going to be something that we will have before us next week, or is that timetable unrealistic? So let me just ask Paul or Kathy, I should have asked this earlier, we understand a 3 or 4 page summary document is going to be developed, drawn from this, and when should we expect to see that? I know you're meeting on Friday.
Next Tuesday, Steve. We're meeting on Friday to review it.
Okay. So we'll look for that for our call next Tuesday. So let me just summarize where I think we are on these topics. On Subteam 1, the document that proposed draft text for updated section 1.3.2. Please look at this and give us any reactions online and any specific edits that you would like to make online. Especially want to hear from members of that sub-team, but I think anybody who has comments should bring those forward, if possible, by the end of this week. On the second topic, sub-team 2, proposed language updating section 1.3.3, on the assumption that we will drop the last two paragraphs that created that drew a lot of opposition on the list, please give us any other edits that you would like to see in this document. We will also, as we noted in the first paragraph, make it clear that that was a snapshot of where the group was at the time we issued the initial report and not where we are now. So please circulate those on the list also, if you can, before the end of this week so that we'll see where we are for next week's call. On sub-team 3, we're expecting that group hopefully to come back to us with some specific proposals or recommendations or options for discussion next week, with particular attention to the verifiable evidence standard. Sub-team 4, we'll look forward to your 3- to 4-page summary document, hopefully for next week. And then this last document that's up here, the issues for further working group consideration, please, on the list, give us your reaction to this, and particularly any issues that you think we need to focus on going forward, or ones that you think we can safely dispense with, or that we can note that some people said that, but we didn't choose to change our recommendations. So I know that's a long list, and I'm not sure we'll get to all of those next week, but I think if we can make progress on all of those using the list over the next several days, that will move us along toward the position that we want to be in, which is to have actual final report text that we can discuss in Dublin. So please, let's see if we can move this forward. Let me just ask if there are any other comments that people want to make before we adjourn. I agree with James B. Let's get these action items out to the list, and hopefully people can use this week to make progress on those. Okay, seeing no further comments, and we're just about at the top of the hour, I want to thank everybody for their participation. Thanks particularly to the sub-team members for all the work that you have done and for the reports you've provided. And we'll adjourn this call at this time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, and have a good day. To those of you who have just listened.